On the coast of California, there are great forests of trees. They're called the redwoods, which are the tallest trees in the world. We're talking about trees over 300 feet tall. If you think of the length of a football field minus the goal or end zones, that's how tall some of these trees actually are. The manner of their growth can be unique. For example, two trees can grow year after year, a few feet apart. Then after 50 or so or 100 years, they touch each other, and the bark from one begins to overlap the bark of the other. And then after maybe additional time, perhaps another 100 years, these two trees actually grow together. They give the appearance of a single tree. This phenomenon can be seen near Santa Cruz, where there are two trees that have grown at an angle to each other, and contact between them has been made 100 feet in the air. And from that point up, they are one tree, a single top growing from two trunks. If I had a picture of that, I would show you. But Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, the Greek word for to plant means to become the same plant. And so what Paul is actually saying here is, if through salvation we have become the same plant like these redwood trees, in the likeness of Christ's death, we shall also be the same plant in the likeness of his resurrection. This morning from Romans chapter 6, I want us to see what results through our union with Christ. Our union with his death, his burial, his resurrection. What the power of the gospel brings to pass for us today and in the future. We are planted together with Christ. We have become one with Christ. What is ours because of this wonderful reality? We read in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." In these two verses, we find our morning's outline. In verse 4, it tells us, because of our union with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we have power over sin. Verse 5 tells us, because of our union with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, in other words, the fact that we are planted together with him, we have power over death. Power over sin and power over death. That is significant. That is power. Power over sin. Power over death. So point number one this morning, the gospel of Christ gives us power over sin. And why is that so important? Because when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin destroys. You want to be able to have victory. You want to be able to have power over that which destroys. Notice again, verse 4, "As believers, we have been baptized into Christ's death." We have a union with Christ on the cross. By some divine miracle, we have been taken back some 2,000 years and made to participate in our Savior's death and then to be buried with him, burial proving the proof of death, and then to be resurrected with Christ for the purpose, as we see at the end of verse 4, to walk in newness of life. The Greek word for newness refers to newness of quality and character, which all means, just as sin characterized our old life, so righteousness now characterizes our new life. A brand new life marked by a new heart, a new spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, we read, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." When we are in Christ, when we have been baptized in his death, burial, and resurrection, we are given a new heart, a new spirit. And this brand new life is marked by a new song. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord." A brand new life, it's marked by a new name. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, we read these words, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, this brand new life is called a new creature. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And this new life is called a new creature as well in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." And lastly, this brand new life is marked by a new man. Ephesians 4, 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And this new man, empowered by the Spirit of God, can now do what this man was divinely created to do, to not serve sin, to say no to temptation, to say no to sin. Romans 6, verse 6, this chapter we're looking at, tells us, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Think about this. This new heart, this new spirit, this new song, this new name, this new creature, this new man can say no to sin. I am thankful for the power of the resurrected Christ who can enable me to say no to sin. In verses 17 and 18, in Romans chapter 6, we basically see the same thought, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness." I love what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm or strengthen yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to fulfill its lusts, but to the will of God." And so we can say, as we see in verse 11 of Romans 6, we can count ourselves, we can reckon ourselves. In the Greek, it's a accounting term, ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto God. It is, now sin, we know, is not dead. I mean, it's still in us. It's still all around us. sin is very much alive. You don't have to turn on your television. You don't have to drive down the streets of Augusta, Georgia. I mean, sin is everywhere. But because of the power of the gospel, we can be dead to sin. We can be dead to sin. And because of the power of the gospel, we can count ourselves alive unto God. And it is not that we feel alive unto God, but that we are alive. We are alive and must reckon, count ourselves as such. Remember Paul's words in that famous verse in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so since we have been raised with Christ, we can seek those things which are above. And because of the power of the gospel, we can, as verse 13 tells us, we can yield our members as instruments. And that word really means weapons. Not of unrighteousness unto sin, but we can yield ourselves unto God as being alive from the dead and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God's will that you as a believer, as a Christian, as someone who follows Christ, lives righteously. And God, through the gospel of His Son, the death, burial, and resurrection, gives us power to do so. In fact, the life of Christ becomes our life. We are planted together in His life. Wow. When I was younger, Michael Jordan was the basketball player. And what did young players want to be? They wanted to be like whom? Like Mike, Michael. Maybe some have come close. But ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, we have the very life of Christ, God Himself planted in us, and we can be not like Mike, but like Jesus. Wow. That's power. Now the word yield is found 5 times in this section, this chapter, verses 13, 16, and 19, and it means to place at one's disposal, to present, to offer as a sacrifice, which Paul declares for us in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so just as before salvation we habitually yielded to the sins of our unrighteous life, we can now, it's called the power of the gospel, put our members as at the service and use of God Himself, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We can glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we can do all to the glory of God. That, my friend, is living. That's being alive in Christ. Now, practically, what does this spiritual process look like? In other words, what does it involve? How does it come to pass? What must we do to bring this living reality, this power of the gospel, to fruition in our lives? Well, we get alone with God as a believer, as a Christian. We get alone with God. And through the power of the gospel, we make the following moral decision. Lord, identify me with your death until I know that sin is dead in me. And what happens then is I enter into the glorious privilege of being crucified with Christ until all that is left is the life of Christ planted in me. And after the moral decision to be identified with Jesus in his death, the resurrection life of Jesus invades then every bit of my human nature, meaning Christ takes charge of everything about it. And as he calls me to walk in the light, remember he is the light, he calls me to obey all that he reveals to me. And he gives me the power to fulfill his will, to walk in newness of life. God puts the holiness of his Son in me, and I belong to a new spiritual order. Satan and my old man are rendered powerless, and I live now unto God. I am alive unto God. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ladies and gentlemen, that is being alive. That is living. The gospel's energy and power, which was manifested in Jesus, is now operational in me by the sheer grace of God. Remember, Paul said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. What did I deserve to be the recipients of this amazing life found in Jesus Christ, a life which is empowered by the Spirit of Christ, which enables me to say no to sin? If we as Christians are having difficulty in being right with God, having victory over sin, over bitterness, how quickly our hearts can become bitter. How quickly our hearts can become unforgiving. How we can lust after the ways of the world, the things of this world. Self-will. Let me tell you, when you are self-willed, you are a miserable person. When you yield your will to the living God, you experience a life that frees you from that bondage of yourself. You have victory over pride. Pride is what brought Satan down. You know, you could talk about the 10 greatest Christians and how I won the other 9 to the Lord, you know? We are so full of ourselves. And let me tell you, you and I are not beautiful apart from Christ. But when the beauty of Christ flows through us, we're not seen, but he is. He must increase. Remember John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. But when we have issues, when we allow sin to reign in our lives, it's because we will not decide definitely about who is Lord. Who is in charge? Remember, we can't serve two masters. But when we say to Christ, my Lord and my God, the resurrected life planted in us comes to life, and we are filled with all the fullness of God. We walk in newness of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where you stand. I mean, you look pretty good to me. But do you know how to become beautiful? is let Christ's beauty be your beauty, be your joy, be your peace. Again, the gospel of Christ gives us power over sin. When sin knocks on our heart's door, we can say, no. You know, that is power. We can say no, for we have been made free from the law of sin and death. We are privileged to have a couple of Green Jacket baseball players with us. This will be my 30th year to do baseball chapel. And I started in 89. I started when these gentlemen were not even a thought. That shows you how old I am. But I was in the clubhouse yesterday watching these pitchers work out. And they were lifting weights and, you know, trying to become strong. It's called power. And I've told the Green Jacket players every year, do you know what real power is? To be able to say no to sin. That is power. When temptation knocks on your door, to say, I will not go there. That is the power of the gospel. It's powerful to be able to hit a ball 400 feet. It's power to be able to put a pitch just where you want it at 90 to 100 miles an hour. You have less than half a second to respond when that pitch comes. But it's power, it's true power when you can say no to sin. Do you know what? When you can say no to sin, you'll become a better husband. You'll become a better father. You'll become a better mother, wife, a son, a daughter, an employer, employee. It makes all the difference in the world when you are living your life through the power of the gospel, saying no when sin knocks on your door. That is power. That is living. And that is life. Christ reigns in me. Well, our second point, the gospel of Christ gives us power over death. Notice verse 5, if you'll turn back to Romans chapter 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And here is gospel power at work at the rapture. When this corruptible body will put on incorruption, and this mortal body will put on immortality, so when this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The point here is Christ's resurrection has broken the power of death for us who believe in him. So death no longer is master over us because death no longer is master over Christ. Hasn't Christ mastered death when he arose from the grave? When we are planted together with him, we too have mastery over death. Now, death is still presently the enemy of man. And even for the Christian, it violates our dominion of God's creation. It breaks love's relationship. It disrupts families. It certainly causes great grief and the loss of those who are dear to us. Our neighbor across the street, he just died. saw his wife yesterday, still grieving. And yes, as Christians, we no longer have to fear death, but it still invades and torments us while we are mortal. Remember when my mom and then my dad passed away? Those were tough times. I don't want to relive those days. But one day when Christ returns again, it's called the rapture, all this will change. All this will change. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Isaiah 25 verse 8 states, he will swallow up death in victory. And please understand, death and all of its apparent victories will be undone for God's children. As one author writes, what looks like a victory for death and like a defeat for us, when our bodies die and decay, shall be ultimately reversed, so that death dies in absolute defeat and our bodies live again in absolute victory. What death has done, Christ will totally undo. And we exclaim with Paul, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine what it would be like to say goodbye to a loved one and never think I'll see that person again. But when we are in Christ, I have the hope that I'll see my mother and my father again. I had a cousin that just passed away. I have the hope that I'll see him again. And we exclaim with Paul again, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In our Lord's victory over death, death's sting is removed. It is declawed, it is defanged, it is disarmed, it is destroyed. Death dies. For the believer in the gospel, death dies. The gospel's power renders death dead forever. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, we read, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 4 of Revelation 21, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Can we imagine no more death? As we get older, I think of my mortality almost every day. When I was young, I never thought about death. But I think of death about every day. But there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for these former things are passed away. The power of the gospel found in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. What victory-giving power. Victory over sin. Victory over death. No wonder Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. That word power in the Greek means the dynamite of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So as we've studied this morning, Romans 6, 4, we see here, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Such gives us power over sin, and its power gives us victory over death. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We sing, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph or his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. What power is ours when we are planted together with Christ? I ask, do you know of this gospel power that frees you from the penalty, the power, and one day even from the presence of sin? Do you know my Jesus? Have you said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, I look to you for my hope, the forgiveness of my sins, my salvation? Do you know of this gospel power that frees you from sin? Do you know of this gospel power that frees you from eternal death? Only those planted with Christ will never be uprooted. We think of that verse, it's so famous, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With this, I'll close. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read these verses. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that is ours through the gospel of Jesus Christ.